streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio and noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, it's a Tuesday, closer to the draft, a remarkable round one NBA playoff night. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Nick Wright today, LSU football coach Brian Kelly stops by today. J-Mac, that was an all-timer. Knicks at home with the Madison Square Garden crowd seemingly on the floor. As the players were on the floor late, that was an all-time ending. And then the Lakers-Nuggets, I said yesterday on the show, Lakers lose in overtime. It was almost that. Lakers' season was on the line, but those were two great playoff games. Great.
I had to go out and have a cigarette after that. I had the first cigarette in like 25 years. I mean, it was just an amazing night of sports, Colin.
So the Lakers this morning and last night, they want to blame the refs. They want to blame the replay system. Okay? Not the LeBron James 16 seconds left, missed wide open three. Nah, that wasn't it. Or the fact that Anthony Davis had no points in the fourth quarter. Darvin Ham couldn't dial up a play, or the fact that once again, a Lakers starter gave you a nothing burger. Rui, 3 points. Not that in the last 10 minutes, the Lakers went away from the pick and roll with AD and LeBron. I think LeBron just gets tired. We know the Lakers don't have the talent or the versatility of Denver. Last night's a great example. Jokic did not play well in the first half. Murray was awful in the first three quarters. But because of their surrounding talent, they can keep it close and make runs. These teams have played 10 straight times. The games all look the same. They're all close. We've said all year, Lakers aren't going to beat them, but they match up with them well. The difference is, though, last night, last 9 possessions for Denver, they scored on 8 of them. Why? Because LeBron and AD in both games have had to overcome a starter that gave you nothing. D'Lo was awful in game 1 and Rui was awful in game 2. Jamal Murray wasn't good last night in the first 3 quarters, but he was remarkable in the fourth. Jokic had a rare bad half, but he was money in the second half. Denver always wins this game because Denver, their two stars, can have a bad quarter, can have a bad half. They don't have to be gassed. Jokic just lets the game come to him. He doesn't press when things are going awry. He's got Gordon and Porter and KCP. He doesn't have to press. If LeBron doesn't get D'Lo help, he's got to empty the tank. If AD doesn't get Rui help, he's got to empty the tank. And so, I mean, again, last night, Jokic and Murray didn't do anything in the first half. But in the last 9 possessions, Denver scored in 8. And those are the crunch time numbers. That's the best defense you'll face. That's the most pressure you'll face. And this is what championship teams like Denver deliver. It's not just that they have the best player in the world, because LeBron and AD aren't far behind. It's the ability for their star teammates, who often have bad halves, to still be brilliant like Jamal Murray when you need him to deliver. And in that fourth quarter, whereas D'Lo was bad the entire game one, and Rui was awful last night the entire game, Jamal Murray, as a star, and 3 bad quarters later, came in and sealed the game with this.
Murray makes a move.
Now, they're going to go back to L.A. The games will be close. The Lakers will empty the tank. But this has been the most predictable series of all of them. The Lakers match up well. The Lakers have 2 stars, but LeBron and AD are always have to overcome a weak bench, sometimes regrettable substitution patterns by Darvin Ham, and by the end of the game, what's AD have left? Not much offensively, and here was AD when asked about Murray's game winner.
Can you take us through that last play, just what happened, what unfolded, what was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play?
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yeah, that sums it up. Jamal Murray hit a shot. Okay, what is the constant been in Philadelphia for 8 years? They've had multiple GMs. Nick Nurse is Embiid's 3rd coach. We had the trial balloon with Ben Simmons, James Harden. Now it's Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, draft picks, the process. The constant is Embiid. And superstars, that's what he's been labeled. He's a superstar. I don't know. I've got a higher standard. To be a superstar in the NBA, you have to, you know, once win a 2nd-round playoff series in the much, much weaker Eastern Conference. I don't know, just one time. GMs, coaches, teammates, stars, Simmons, Harden. Now he's got Maxey. And these Knicks, though gutty, are hardly the Shaq Kobe Lakers. They're doing it on guile, moxie, toughness. They want it more. They care more. That last sequence for the Knicks, it was all desire and effort. I mean, Embiid, first 2 games, no rebounds in the fourth quarter. Through 2 games. Is Ewing on the floor? What am I missing? No rebounds. Rebounds is an effort stat. Dennis Rodman wasn't skilled. Ben Wallace wasn't a world-class basketball. It's effort. Rebounds are effort. Embiid, 7-2, superstar. Did Shaq ever have 2 games with no rebounds in the fourth quarter through 2? I don't think so. Did Hakeem? He has the talent. He doesn't shrink. He has the size. He lacks effort. If you go look at Joel Embiid's playoff career, his numbers plummet in the fourth. His plus-minus, his field goals, his rebound, everything goes down. That's effort. I understand bigs get tired, bigs get beat up. I get that. But when Tyrese Maxey, with 109 left, hit a 3, the score was 196 Philadelphia. In fact, the Knicks' next 2 possessions, they didn't get a field goal. It was their game. Now, Kyle Lowry missed a free throw. That was big. And Jalen Brunson got a bit of a break on that bounce on the 3, absolutely. But in the NBA, you're a superstar if you win in April, May, and June, and you have a big personality. Kawhi doesn't, Jokic doesn't. They're stars. But you're a superstar if you win in April, May, and June, and you have a big personality. And Embiid's got plenty of personality. But I waited through Trust the Process and Ben Simmons and James Harden and now Tyrese Maxey and multiple coaches and Nick Nurse is the 3rd and multiple GMs and draft picks and moving. And I get the same thing. Big games in the East, in the playoffs, late. Where's Embiid? I just didn't see the effort. I watched that last sequence by the Knicks. They were done. It was over. Maxey hits a 3 next 2 times down under a minute. They don't get a field goal. It's over. And then it became rugby on the floor. Did you have any doubt when that ball went on the floor the Knicks would come up with it? Was there any doubt for a second who was going to come up with the basketball? Even DiVincenzo's second three, it was about effort. Nobody blocked out the Knicks. So here's Joel Embiid on that crazy final sequence.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself including Nico, coach on the sideline. But that didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's, yeah, like I said, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I keep hearing the Sixers last night and this morning complain about there was no timeout. You know what I saw? Nobody blocking out. No effort. That last night was all about desire. That game was over. Knicks were cooked. 196, didn't score in their next two possessions. Game was over. It's over. Embiid, no rebounds. First two games in the series, fourth quarter. I mean, that was all effort, all desire. These Knicks, Jalen Brunson is not playing well. Julius Randle isn't available, and they're beating two stars in this league, one that has been labeled a superstar. I don't want to hear about timeouts. I don't want to hear about time. I don't want to hear about you miss this, you miss that. I miss the effort. Where is it? It is all on the Knicks. You can watch a sporting event. You don't see this a lot in hockey. You don't see a lot in baseball. But you do see in the NBA some load management, teams wanting it more, more physicality. That was an effort win. It wasn't a talent win. Don't give me talent. DiVincenzo's bounced around the league. It's not a talent thing. That was an effort thing. J-Mac, that was so much fun last night. Some nights I just know I'm going to stay home. I'm going to order out, and I'm going to stay home. And sometimes it's work. Sometimes I don't necessarily want to watch a Thursday night football game on Amazon. Carolina Panthers involved. It's work. Last night was not work. Last night is why we do this job. Sitting home, watching those games, having a blast.
I mean, the Knicks game came out of nowhere. I thought they were cooked. You know, down five with 30 seconds.
Philly outplayed them for three quarters. Philadelphia for two and a half quarters was a bet.
I mean, Brunson looked gassed. Brunson's not having a great start to the series.
Well, that's because they've relied on him so much.
Too much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson is, to a large degree, looks, he's lost his legs.
I think he's shooting 29% through two games. That's not sustainable.
Almost predictable.
I thought the series was over.
Yeah.
When the Knicks were down five, I'm like, I don't know how you go to Philly and steal one with no offense, but the Lakers win, Colin. I don't know that I've been that gutted from a loss in sports since maybe the Jets in the AFC Championship game way back when against the Steelers with Sanchez at quarterback. That's how long it's been. 20-point lead, 10 in the fourth quarter.
You got to remember, the 20-point lead was like 68-48. You can build, people will say this, well, Michael Jordan never lost 20-point leads. The three-point shot.
Totally different. Fine. It's 10-point lead to open the fourth, Colin.
That 10-point lead to open the
really
fourth is a couple bad possessions, and they hit two threes, and you're down to four.
Timeout. It's not a couple bad possessions. Darvinham totally botched the rotations. You can't start the fourth up 10 on the road, season on the line, with Dinwiddie, Jackson Hayes, and Torian Prince on the court. You cannot do it. I text a bunch of Laker fans. They were like all caps. Darvinham, what are you? You know, like. But again, they had the game. Like Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's him. He is him. I mean, that shot over AD, I was speechless.
I'll say this, though. AD, the fact that he didn't get top three in voting for Defensive Player of the Year, I would have voted him number one. Jokic has very few bad halves. Jokic was irrelevant in the first half. AD and Jokic in the first half. AD may have played the best half of basketball in a year by a big man.
But wouldn't you rather have a better second half than a first half?
I would, but when Rui doesn't show up and it takes a while for teammates. Now, D'Lo in the first half was money, but Anthony Davis is having to kind of.
He emptied the tank in the first half. Fourth quarter, that's when he shoots his 1 3-pointer from the corner. AD, what are you doing? Take him downtown. Take him inside. AD, 0 points in the fourth, Colin. That was an Embiid-like disappearing act.
I'll almost give LeBron and AD a little bit of a break in the fourth because they're gassed because they have to carry the team. Yeah. Jokic had a bad first half. He wasn't gassed because he has people to pick up for him. Gordon and Porter and KCP and eventually Murray.
Well, Reeves chased around Murray. He had nothing. Rui guarding Jokic did a good job first half, right? But one of seven offense. Like, it's just the Nuggets are good, man.
They are.
It's a great team.
By the way, 45 minutes from now, we're going to take all the potential first-round quarterbacks and play the high-low game. What is their high comp? What if it doesn't work? What is their low comp? It's a lot of fun. you know, you put yourself out there. It's one of my favorite segments of the year. We do it once. We take the quarterbacks. We play high, low. At the best, what is Michael Penix? At the worst, what is Penix? We'll play the high, low game in 45 minutes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
All right, we play this game every year. It's kind of funny because people make fun of my comps on this, but we're going to play the high-low game. I'm going to take all the first-round quarterbacks, and basically, if it goes really well, this is how good it could go. Or on the low end, this is sort of what it becomes. So let's play the high-low game. We'll start with Caleb Williams. Well, everybody's comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, so we're not going to outthink the room. He has a lot of Patrick Mahomes capabilities. He moves around. He's got a strong arm. There's arm angles. He's just a very, very unique talent, Caleb Williams. So I would say the high is Patrick Mahomes, and the low is Kyler Murray. Maybe a little too much sandlot football. Spectacular, but not as consistent as you thought he would be. The high-low game for Caleb Williams, Mahomes, and Kyler Murray. Drake May. Well, the high-low game for me on Drake May is, first of all, Justin Herbert. So I think Drake May actually looks and plays a little like Justin Herbert. Herbert was more accurate consistently, but he's 6'3 and a half. He's 220. He moves. The low end is Carson Wentz. He looks the part, but he's just not consistent enough with his accuracy. Everything looks like it should work. Nice arm, can move, big, strong, can let it rip. He just doesn't deliver the ball squarely and accurately enough. High low for Drake May is Justin Herbert and Carson Wentz. Okay, Jaden Daniels, the high-low game. The high is easy for me, Lamar Jackson. Electric runner who is more than capable to make throws. In fact, I think he's a better thrower out of college than Lamar Jackson. The low end is RG3, which is he just takes too many hits for his small frame. So the high-low, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, and RG3. J.J. McCarthy, high-low game. High, I think it's Alex Smith. There's a lower ceiling. Coachable is going to be about as good in the NFL as his coaching and his surroundings. Smith was a bust until Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid. The low end is Marcus Mariota. Slender frame, not really able to carry average talent. Can win games, may get you to the playoffs. But the high end, low end for J.J. McCarthy. High end Alex Smith. Depends on the coach. Low-end Marcus Mariota, certain clear limitations. High-end, low-end Bo Nix. Now, I think the high-end because of accuracy, college starts, and productivity is Drew Brees. Coachable, accurate, schemed up. The low end is Derek Carr. He's okay. Doesn't win enough. Never feel like he's a top 10 guy. There's something there. A pro, pretty accurate, but not a great deep ball. And you always feel like, yeah, we should probably move on and get another quarterback. Bo Nix, high, low, is Drew Brees and Derek Carr. And then Michael Penix, the kid I like out of Washington. I think the high end is Mark Brunell, a really underrated all-time quarterback, a lefty out of Washington, moved very, very well. Smart guy, moved well out of Washington, threw a beautiful ball. The low end is Jameis Winston. Again, it looks the part. He's got the arm, he can move. It just doesn't work enough. He just doesn't win enough. So the high-low for Michael Penix, Mark Brunell. That's not a shot. Mark was a really good player. Got Jacksonville when they were starting out in the playoffs. He goes, Tom Coughlin was his coach. The low end is Jameis Winston. Nobody doubts the first-round talent, throws a beautiful ball, but doesn't quite square up with what you want as a franchise quarterback. All right. So that's my high-low game. So any pushback on that? Any pushback for you on high-low game?
I just thought the lows were all like good quarterbacks, guys who were multi-year starters. I was waiting for Zach Wilson as a low.
Caleb Williams. Well, first of all, I think these quarterbacks, two things. One, I think it's a good quarterback class. Two, we have a lot of really smart offensive coaches. So Caleb is the one that you have a defensive coach. Uh-oh. But the number two quarterback is going to go to Cliff Kingsbury and a lot of draft picks and cap space in a kind of a weaker, weird, wonky division sometime. Okay. We think Dallas is going down and the Giants going down. So the Giants, Brian Daboll could get a quarterback. And then the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell could get a quarterback. Sean Payton could get a quarterback. Okay. Mike McDaniel could get a quarterback. I think in this quarterback class, it's a better than average class. It's better than average class. Let's start with that. And I think there's a lot of highly clever offensive young coaches where these guys could land. So that's my takeaway.
I mean, Bo Nix is Derek Carr. He's going to make a ton of money, be like an 8-year starter in the league. Bo Nix would take that in a heartbeat, wouldn't he? That's not really a low. I think you're just being really generous. Look at the low end, Jameis Winston. Like, I mean, he started for like 6 years in the league. Carr's still a starter, Mariota.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, I need to see lows of, like, honestly, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. I'm talking just total busts.
Remember, a lot of draft classes, that class, Zach Wilson, COVID quarterback class, Mac Jones started 1 year, Trey Lance, almost no starts. What's different in this quarterback class, Caleb Williams, 3 years, 2.5 years starting. Bo Nix, 61 okay. starts. Michael Penix, 5 years, 6 years of starting. This class is unique in that almost all these quarterbacks have multiple years of starting. I mean, Bo Nix, Penix, Caleb, J.J. McCarthy. That class was the COVID class where, like, okay. Zach Wilson played the weakest BYU schedule ever. I mean, their toughest game that year could have been Coastal Carolina.
How about, like, Rosen from UCLA or, like, a Jake Locker? Guys who basically within,
well,
like, 6 months
all,
you were, like, done.
Jake Locker I never bought into. I said he was a better Tebow-ish kind of, you know, in years later after it was, you know, after Jake Locker left, because Tebow, I think, was first. Jake Locker basically was Tim Tebow with a better ball placement. But that's all he kind of is. Right. I never bought into that at all. Part of it was because I knew people that coached him, and they didn't buy into it.
Yeah, right.
But I think this is a really good class. I really do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Well, every place he's been, Division II on up, he's ended up being the national coach of the year at that level. He's led his teams wherever, Notre Dame, LSU, to 10-plus wins in seven straight seasons. I think he's one of the smartest guys in the sport. Brian Kelly, third year with LSU, is joining us before he heads out to a golf course. His off season is about 3 weeks, so he's got the clubs ready right after this interview. Brian, let's start with this. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. If I had the number two pick, I would take him. I worry a little bit about his frame, a little bit, but the SEC's got NFL bodies. Is that a fair concern that he is tall and a little thin?
Yeah, but I don't think you lose any sleep. I think if he was a poor decision maker, if he was sloppy with the football, if he couldn't walk into an NFL locker room and lead the guys, then those are things that leave you not getting any sleep. He can put on weight. Those are small concerns. He is a flat-out playmaker. He'll change the look of your franchise, and I think that's why I believe he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Now, LSU doesn't lose a lot of games. What is his temperament if you go to Washington and you get, you know, the media's big and they're loud and it's cold and they're beating up on him and he's 7-10, and what's his makeup, his personality?
Well, in his first year where he struggled at times, he was the same guy each and every week. He went to work. He continued to lead. He worked on his craft. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, he can handle the ups and downs of it. You know, he got knocked out of the game against Alabama, concussed in the game, and found his way back the next week against Florida and set an NCAA record. So this is a guy that gets knocked down and gets back up the next week.
So Malik Nabers has a little OBJ. LSU is a wide receiver and defensive back factory. He's a yards after the catch guy. Again, let's ask the durability questions. Can he play day one in the NFL? What do you make of Malik Nabers, who people now are saying is a top five pick?
Well, again, I had him for 2 years, and in terms of a durability, every day of practice, and I'm talking every day of practice in one-on-ones, going up for balls, competing in the red zone, you know, playing in a bowl game when he didn't need to play in a bowl game. He does not care. He wants to compete every single day. So he's going to answer the bell. He's going to play every game. He's going to compete. It's just in his DNA. It's in his nature. So You know, look, there are many great wide receivers in this draft. The first three or four are as good as there have been in a long time. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder when it comes to wide receiver, but he can do it all. The yards after the catch, elite speed, and certainly can go up and get the football. So, again, I think he's going to change the way an NFL team looks. And again, do it right away.
You did at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, you won early, but you weren't SEC deep early. By the end of your stay, you went toe to toe with Georgia twice, and you looked the part. And no fool's gold. This was you had backups that would play in the NFL. Part of the secret to beating an SEC team is O-line play. Michigan had it this year, where you can just protect your quarterback. You did a remarkable job at Notre Dame. It became kind of a factory for offensive linemen. Joe Alt is somebody you recruited. I think he's the best tackle. That's what my people say. I don't know if he's Trent Williams. But did you know initially high schooled? Is this what you perceived first tackle off the board NFL draft top 10?
Well, I think the only thing that was the question mark was, would he be able to put on the weight necessary to be that anchor? And we felt very confident with our strength and conditioning team and his demeanor and the way he handled things and, of course, the pedigree that he was going to be able to do it. Look, you know, being a left tackle takes more than just length and athletic ability. There are a lot of guys that have that. His demeanor is outstanding. You know, he has a ability to forget and move on to the next play.
Yeah.
The left tackle is going to get the best of the best. I just think, you know, the things that we don't talk about enough with the best offensive linemen is the right makeup. The demeanor of a Joe Alt is that he's a pro's pro. He's going to go to work every day, and he's going to know, you may get me once, but I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to shut you out when it's most important. And he's a very, very smart football player.
The great coaches in college, I think Nick Saban proved this. He lost a lot of good coordinators. He reinvented his program. They went from corners to receivers and quarterbacks. He reinvented it. He didn't get stubborn. Mike Krzyzewski didn't like the one and done initially. And then he joked, I kept getting beat by one and done guys. So he went one and done. If you start looking at what you're going to have to face now, the transfer portal, NIL. People can grumble about it, but Brian, it's here.
Right.
It's the reality of it. Give me something you like about the transfer portal and NIL. Everybody grumbles about it. You've used it. Deion's used it. Lincoln's used it. Nick used it. What? Give me something you like about it.
Well, you can manage your roster during this period of time. This second portal where you can't transfer within the SEC. You know, you can manage your roster. Guys that are struggling at this level to play in the SEC, they now can look for an escape route. They can look for a place where they can go and compete somewhere else. And it allows you to bring somebody in that might be at a lower level that can help your roster right away. So the ability to manage your roster in this second portal is a positive thing from that perspective, where it allows kids to get out and find a place and land at a school where they can, in fact, compete, and you can upgrade your roster. So I think that's a positive from that perspective.
When you left for LSU, I said, I totally get it. It's easier to recruit southern schools, warm weather, than northern schools. I completely get it. Notre Dame's got academics. It's tougher than average. It's cold weather. It's a small town. I got it. You got some pushback, but I think in the end, there's just most people understood it. The downside is 10 wins is not good enough at LSU. You know, I mean, it's like SEC is, they show up on Wednesday and they're Winnebago for the game. Take me through the move from Notre Dame to LSU. Describe passion for somebody that's never been in the heart of the South.
Well, certainly there was an understanding that we had to retool in a number of ways. The roster was not where it needed to be. And so there is a little bit of grace, but you still have to compete. We won the SEC West in our first year, and certainly in our second year, provided our fan base with the number one offense in the country. So, again, you can't just come down here and say, hey, we're going to rebuild. You have to still provide a nationally qualifying football team, which we did. But now the time is such that we've had 2 years. We're building depth within our football team. This has got to be a team that now competes for a playoff spot and puts itself in a playoff situation as we continue to build the depth of this roster so we can be in the consistent conversation like a Georgia and an Alabama and the teams that have been there each and every year.
Finally, he's getting overlooked because there's so many good receivers, and Malik Nabers and Harrison and Roma Dunze are taking all the press. You have a young man named Brian Thomas, and again, LSU does receivers like nobody else. What is he? What's he like? Describe. If I'd never seen him play and I'm an NFL GM and I haven't popped a tape in, what would you tell me to expect?
Well, first of all, his ability is not just about running nine routes and going down the field and catching the ball. His ability to break tackles, his ability to make the difficult catches when he's up in the air. I mean, I'm talking about acrobatic catches, a guy that can make the play after the catch. He's got yards after the catch. Again, a unique talent that, again, when you look at it, wins the one-on-one matchups. We had two guys that if you doubled anybody, the other guy got one-on-one matchups, and he beat the best. So he's just going to add to an NFL roster, and if you give him one-on-one coverage, he's got elite speed, he's got size, and the ability to make plays after the catch.
All right, I know you're going to go golf. Stay away from Saban. All he does is golf now. Do not stay away from
no
Nick.
No doubt.
It's all good for him. He's happy in retirement. Thanks, Brian.
No doubt. Take care, guys. Good having you on.
Thank all right. You. Brian Kelly, LSU football coach. Nick Saban's retiring the way he should. Grab the clubs. He always says, I do the chores in the morning. Wife tells me what to do the chores. Then I'm out to the golf course. My daughter told me yesterday, she knows, Dad, you know what I want someday? A golf cart. I want to live somewhere where I can have a golf cart. That's where you live. You live in one of those fancy places, don't you? I never thought about a golf cart. Do you want one? Why are you looking at me like that?
My
daughter, out of the blue.
In theory, they're great. It's not like there's a ton of parking spots for them, though. They're not that much of a help. It's just,
man,
they're kind of cool.
The idea.
Yeah, you put a little speaker on one and maybe dress it up with some Christmas lights. You got like a nighttime vibe going on, right?
My daughter out of the blue said that. Dad, I want a golf cart. And I'm like, are you going to retire? Are you moving to Boca Vista? What do you mean? You're like 23 years old. She goes, wouldn't it be great to live somewhere you could go around the community in a golf cart? And I said, I'm 60. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. She's 23?
Yeah, you're 23.
She has a golf cart?
You know, she's ahead of her time. She's getting ready for retirement.
Yeah.
Has to work a little more.
What a time.
Springtime's the perfect time to give a fresh look to your security. SimplySafeColin.com. There's no safe like SimplySafe. So earlier this hour, I want to put it back up. I did my high-low comp game with the quarterbacks in the first round. The high-low comp game. And basically, Jason's pushback was, they're all good. And I said, well, I think this, first of all, these quarterbacks are unique. Almost all of them have like 30, 40, 50 starts. Bo Nix has 61. That's insane. That's the most starts ever for a college quarterback, I do believe. It's certainly in the ballpark of it. So I think you have a lot of starts, a lot of film. That reduces the miss rate. It also gives you this generation of quarterbacks also, over the last 4 to 5 years, this generation of quarterbacks has far more throws in high school, in summer, in off-season work. So my high-low for Caleb Williams, high is Mahomes, low is Kyler Murray, where he's a little off-script too much. High-low Drake May is Justin Herbert and Carson Wentz. He looks like Herbert, but Carson Wentz always struggled with consistent accuracy. Jaden Daniels, Lamar and Robert Griffin. I do worry about Jaden's frame and the NFL game's faster, taking hits and getting beat up. J.J. McCarthy is Alex Smith, which I think is a lower ceiling than you'd expect for a first-round quarterback. but mostly dependent on the coach he gets to win. And then Marcus Mariota, again, stayed around for a while, won some games. I think he made the playoffs. But I don't see McCarthy as quite the talent of the others. Bo Nix, Drew Brees, I do think if he goes to Denver or a Mike McDaniel, he could be highly productive. I mean, Tua puts up huge numbers with the right coach. The other side is Derek Carr, and when I saw him play live, I thought, you know, Carr throws a better deep ball, but Bo doesn't have a big arm. He doesn't throw the ball down the field great. A lot of it was schemed up in college. Can he go off script, which you have to do to win big in the NFL? And then Michael Penix Jr. is Mark Brunell and Jameis Winston, and the Jameis Winston comp is he looked the part, it just didn't win enough. And J-Mac, if you had to pick apart one, what would it be?
I started to put together a list during the break. What if I said J.J. McCarthy's low end? And I like J.J. McCarthy. I need to preface that. What if his low end was Josh Rosen? What would you say? Josh Rosen, by the way, a lot of starts at UCLA, 59 touchdown passes.
He is more mobile than Josh Rosen and won a lot more games. Okay. So he's a bigger winner and he moves better.
Okay, what if I told you that Jaden Daniels' low end, and I like Jaden Daniels, need to preface it, I'm not a hater. What if I told you his low end was Vince Young? What would you say? I mean, Vince Young was a legendary.
I don't think he's that big and strong, but I think he's a much better thrower than Vince Young. He's not as big and strong. Vince Young won a lot of games. I was never a fan, but won a lot of games.
In college, not in the pros.
Yeah, I mean, in the NFL, he was okay. I mean, Jaden is much better from the pocket than Vince Young, and I'm not sure anybody's been outside of Lamar. Vince Young's the best high school football player in America ever. Quarterback.
And then for Bo Nix, just to be high so I can be positive, what if instead of Brees, who's a lock Hall of Famer, what if I said Matt Ryan, who's not a lock Hall of Famer, did win an MVP award?
Maybe that's better.
I think like Drew Brees.
But again, Bo Nix is more athletic than Matt Ryan. He moves better.
Yes.
Early Drew Brees moved pretty well. He didn't run a lot, but he could. Yeah, I don't think
but like Drew Brees, slam dunk Hall of Fame. Bo Nix would have to be unbelievable.
That's fair. Matt Ryan and Derek Carr. Matt Ryan won an MVP.
He did. And he went to a Super Bowl, should have won one. But
you should have piped up in the morning meeting. I would have given you that one.
Well, why would I give it away in the morning meeting when I could do it here and it's a better back and forth?
Good call. A lot of smart takes today. Hour 3 coming up.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.